We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Davis Manick, joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed, as we are here to do the weekly roundup. We call it the Gilcast, and I think this is people's favorite permutation of the show when Nate wins and Sammy and I do not win. Nate didn't even play a good lineup, but in the end, all that matters is the points that are on the board. So Nate, I'm happy for you.
Does Nate ever play a good lineup? Like, Nate, yes. You just play some.
Yes. No. Nate this morning posted the correct lineup. He had it. He was ready to go.
There was a 0% chance I was playing that lineup.
You had the right team.
I had to get fancy.
Yeah.
And I did. And unfortunately, Davis, you got the blade from Mac Hollins. I mean, you thought he was literally the worst value wide receiver in history.
Well, he can't have been worse than that. Do you remember that Washington football team wide receiver? I want to say this is like 5 years ago, but it was multiple slates where I played this guy. They just had everyone out who was dead. That's really what the Mac Hollins thing was to me. But let's do the whole.
The issue is you have your head in a spreadsheet all week these days, and you're just working on projections, and you're looking at routes, and you're just looking at targets, and you're like, this guy is legit. He just runs routes without targets. And sometimes, Davis, it's more of a feel good. And I just had a feeling this morning. I woke up and I said, no Hunter Renfro. It's time to jam him in. Mac Hollins is the play.
Nate, you are such an incredible alpha. This is
Nate,
the best.
Nate played Mac Hollins, who was the free, like, if you played this guy, it didn't matter who else you played. And he was in serious doubt of not cashing by the end, because the cash line in the big $50 double up was 120 points. Nate scored 122.86 with the free points from one Mr. Mac Hollins. I mean, really, some incredible stuff to come and beat your chest on the show. But Nate wins the three-man, 122.86 points. Sammy, you played the same team that I did, but you had the non-swapped version in our three-man, which,
you know,
was 115.7.
I knew playing the same team as you was just going to be awful. I knew it.
It was, looking in double-ups, there was our team, then there was a 3v3, which was Hurts, Irv Smith, and Panthers defense. That outscored our lineup by a lot, because the Panthers got 16 and Juwan Johnson got 0. So that lineup scored a lot. Then there was another popular team, was our team, but with Mac Hollins and Cooks. Is that right? Which obviously was more points as well. So we got we played the worst, most popular team, which is basically the worst spot to be in, which is you play a team that is massively duped and you play the worst massively duped team. That's pretty much a recipe on how to lose money, Sammy.
Not great. Yeah,
not great. Not profitable.
Although I would say this is more a question for Sammy than Nate. So last weekend, we just knew we lost, right? We were fucking dead. We swapped onto a quarterback who maybe ended his career about 4 minutes after we swapped onto him. This week, we are bouncing back and forth, right? Every catch, right? Leonard Fournette gets an 8-yard run, and then we go back down, but then Brady takes a sack, and we go back up. I mean, I am extremely tilted, but I got way more money back this week than I did last week. I think last week, what did I say? I won 8 head-to-heads. I got like 70% back this week, but it's what they would call a Pyrrhic victory. It was not worth it.
Yeah, I would rather lose it all. I would rather lose all my money than go through what I went through today, which was hoping that Tom Brady, who should be playing shuffleboard at this point rather than football, it makes the 2-point conversion. And like Tom Brady is just like checked out as all get out.
He does not give a fuck, dude.
They don't give a rat's ass. It's a completely unserious team. They're just like throwing these 5-yard checkdowns. Everybody's fumbling. It's a complete zoo. They get a touchdown at the end, and it's like, oh, snap, we're drawing live again. We could get to overtime because we have Dubs and we have A.J. Dillon. And, of course, Tom Brady.
And the Packers defense, right? Live for more sacks and turnovers. Oh,
we're just going to slay it. And instead, Tom Brady takes this like delay of game. Like he wasn't even expecting to have to go for two. And then, you know, and then they don't get it. And then the slate's over and we lose our money. Like this sucks ass, bro. Like,
I mean, it was, and obviously an incredibly low scoring slate, like 180 points won the big red zone, right?
Yeah.
The cash line being at 120, I would guess if you offered me like 120 as the lowest cashing line in the $50 double up all season, I'd probably take that at like plus 110. That's, I mean, 120 is about as low as it gets.
This was brutal. I mean, when at 80, what was David Montgomery?
David Montgomery was 75-80%. He got 1.1. Diggs was 65%. He got 14. St. Brown was 61%. He got 13. And really, the quarterbacks were the only players who scored points that were chalky. So it is what it is. Okay. We all played Josh Allen. And I actually think that's sort of interesting to think about. Like, so we all played Josh Allen instead of Jalen Hurts. It ended up not being material at all. They both scored 30.7 points, which is a little bizarre. But Sammy, what was your thought process? Because we both capitulated late too. We had Hurts all week, and then we both capitulated to Josh Allen late. What was
I capitulated about 3 minutes and 12 seconds before lock. And you know, the deciding factor, obviously there's like a $600 difference between them. And certainly Jalen Hurts is like playing out of his mind right now. Not just in the running game, but the guy is like a legitimate passer. They have legitimate weapons. I mean, that team, They have a sick offensive line. I mean, that team is a straight up juggernaut.
Yeah.
And the thing that got me to just go, you know, we got to go Josh Allen here. Obviously, they were both in like pace up games and spots where there should be a lot of scoring, but there's just way less scavenge potential with the Bills, right? There's no backup running backs.
There's no Boston Scott.
No Boston Scott, no Kenneth Gainwell who are going to scavenge touchdowns. And Jalen Hurts certainly has that in play. I think we saw it in week one where they had 4 rushing touchdowns from 4 different guys. But Josh Allen is literally just going to account for 90% of his team's touchdowns. Like that's how it's going to be. And so at the end of the day, I just felt a lot more comfortable in that he had less avenues to run bad. And dude, the Bills lost. The Bills did not win the game.
And he should have gotten another touchdown there in the end. I mean, he got tackled on the one. I mean, what Josh Allen just runs that in like 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thesis of the play was also, I mean, just we thought Buffalo was going to be struggling defensively because they had so many injuries and that Allen would have to do it and he would have to do it alone.
Oh, Nate, are you, do you have some defensive player takes? Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde out.
I mean, their 5 starting defensive backs had 3 career starts amongst them.
Yeah. I like felt good about the Allen over Hurts thing. I was like, this is a play that I think I have significant.
In the end, like Allen is better, and the difference in projection between what was Juwan Johnson and Irv Smith Jr. and the Jaguars defense and the Panthers defense were nothing. It was fractions of a point. So I was like, I'll just play Josh Allen, who I Noah is never getting less than 20, right? Like, never in a million years in this spot is he getting less than 20. You could see a world where Jalen Hurts gets less than 20, like, you know, defensive touchdown, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, like, you can
see. The other worry is that, and it kind of happened a little bit, is that they just boat race Washington and just use their cavalcade.
Yeah,
their cavalcade of backup running backs to milk the clock. Like, why are we going to put these guys at risk? Whereas Josh Allen, they don't milk the clock. You know what I mean? Josh Allen had 63 pass attempts and 8 rush attempts.
He had 71 dropbacks.
I mean, just incredible. Like, he actually ran bad to only get 30. We ran bad.
He did. All right, so we all played a 4 wide receiver build, 2. None of us played Josh Jacobs. Now, I do think this is, like, one of the interesting things of the slate, which is that Josh Jacobs was looking like the absolute pure stone chalk until he doesn't travel with the team. It ended up not mattering at all, right? His role did not really change in that game. The Raiders ran a bunch of plays. He was on there. I don't have snap counts, but I know that like Bolden and Abdullo were not playing big roles in this game. Let's see, how many touches did he end up getting? 13 carries, 66 yards, 6 targets. I mean, we probably just take the, like, we probably just take that, right? If we,
yeah,
if we, I know, mean, that's sure. His workload.
Yeah, I mean,
if that report never came out that he was sick at all, this was the workload that we were hoping for. I mean, it was him and Bolden were the only 2 running backs that got any work.
Yeah, and for him to get 6 targets, 5 receptions, that's like way more than you would.
I think that was more I think that was more targets than Juju got in the end.
No, Juju ended up having
Juju got there at the end.
But that was basically our choice. Like, do we play Juju or do we play Josh Jacobs? And, you know, it was like, well, A, Jacobs is sick, and then B, you know, we like Juju and we hate Jacobs. So,
man, I will say, before lock, I felt totally comfortable with that decision. Like, I did, I was like, if Jacobs gives me the blade, whatever. But, like, I will never play Juju in cash again because he wasn't even out there. And I wonder if something's going to come out. I was watching that game like it was the national TV game. I had it on. I don't think he played in the first quarter. I think Sky Moore muffed a punt and then was out there on third down on the first drive ahead of him.
I never understood how you guys felt so sure of Juju all year. Like, you guys are so sure that Juju's locked into this role. And I don't know why you were. And that's why I thought on week 3, when you guys were like, Juju's the guy. I get that Cooks had his issues, but, like, Juju being the guy for you guys was, felt like you guys had a season take lock. Like,
and, I mean, in the end, he led the Chiefs in targets. Like, in the end.
Well, it was like the last 2 drives. He got 6. He had like,
well,
5.
Well, buddy, all the points count the same.
Well, I'm just saying, at the end of the day, I didn't understand the Juju thing before lock. I didn't understand the Juju thing at lock or at the end of the game.
We haven't really seen anything to dispute the prior that he is their number one wide receiver until today. Like, the Chargers game was just, like, I guess, honestly, one of my biggest prior adjustments is either all the Chiefs wide receivers are bad and the team is going to struggle, or that was the worst coach game of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy's career. Like, one of those 2 things almost has to be true.
I mean, week 2, he had like a total of like 5 expected points. Like,
that's gonna happen to them against good teams, though. They're not gonna run the happy, fun Chiefs offense against good teams. But the answer, like the adjustment to the prior, would be that maybe the Chiefs are just not that good and they're only going to be able to beat up on like really bad teams. And the Colts are, I guess, not a really bad team.
I mean, the Colts are bad and the Chiefs,
the Chiefs might just be bad, man. I mean, that shit from them today, the fake field goal. And I mean, it was horrible, dude. That was like, if it wasn't Andy Reid, you'd be like, this guy's got, like, you'd be as mad at him as you were at like Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, classic Clyde Edwards-Hilaire game, by the way. 7 carries, 0 yards, 1 touchdown.
Classic Clyde Edwards-Hilaire game. Fournette, I mean, I don't know who they play next week. I don't care what his projection is. I don't think I can do this again, man.
It's going to be bad.
So I got a DM.
Hold on.
I got a DM this morning from somebody who listens to the Gilcast, and he says, "Hey, good morning. I know Sundays are busy, but I wanted to ask, pre-lock, am I a huge fish for just straight up not wanting to play Leonard Fournette in cash? Point one, total is terrible. Game total. Point two, the line is bad. Game three.
I got the same DM and I just said, I'm playing him, but I don't feel good about it.
It's more of a science, bro. You got to look at the projections. I mean,
we should have gotten that guy on this.
I'm giving the Buccaneers in the projections next week. I'm giving them 3.2 yards per play. That's a, they can work on it from there.
Okay, dust.
So I didn't really consider Jacobs much after after the news, but I did consider Mixon. Did any of you guys consider Mixon as your three? Because I had a build that I was looking at with Fournette, Montgomery.
No, because those teams didn't have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and there was no way I was not playing Amon-Ra St. Brown.
So yeah. You didn't, Sammy? Did you consider Mixon at all? I was close to pulling trigger on the Mixon team.
No.
This is it. That would have been just as dipshit as what you did last week, where you fade. Who? What lock?
I know.
You
fade
last week to play McCaffrey. I don't remember. Mixon. No, you played. You played. No,
I faded Mixon last.
No, last week you played McCaffrey to play Richie James.
Jesus, Nate.
Maybe I just have a thing for these.
Maybe the thing is you just hate Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like something about it, you just hate him, and you can't get him in your lineups. You don't want to play him last week.
Like, I'll be totally honest. As a player, I do struggle with these guys who ascend like that. Like that doesn't
fit the model, bro.
I always am going to struggle updating their.
No, but I sent you the thing this morning that since 2010, amongst all wide receivers in their first career 19 games, he's top 10 in total fantasy points. Like better than Allen Robinson and DJ Moore and like all these guys who are really good, super young. He is elite.
Brandon
Cooks has like a 60.
I'm not even going to entertain. I am not going to entertain this Brandon Cooks shit. You got to learn, dude. You got to learn.
Yeah, I learned last week. And Nate, you just woke up this morning and put on a condom and then put on another one over it and then put on another one over it and clicked Brandon Cooks and locked him in.
I don't even think the holistic choice that he made to not play Juju and to play Matt Collins, like, whatever. I like to say that Matt Collins was that much worse of a play than Romeo Doubs. Like, I think he is, but obviously it's like total degrees, right? It's like you're talking about 0.7 of a point here or there, but you just know, you have seen this movie with Brandon Cooks so many times. Like, how many times have we done this show and you're like, yeah, you know, I played Brandon Cooks, he's got a 90 million whopper, but well, he did get 4.6 points in the end, but it's all right, we move on to next week.
Dude, he had a 33% target share week one and a 27% target share week two. He's like $5,600 and I'm like, I can't not play this guy. And you fish are playing Juju Smith-Schuster, who might see single-digit target share.
You got to adjust for offensive environment, dude. Juju in the dome. They were playing outside. The weather was horrible in Chicago. It was super windy. It was not a Brandon Cook spot. What was he owned in cash? Like 8%?
No.
Yeah, there's no way he could have been owned in cash.
Let's see what he was in the $25 double up.
I want to know what Matt Collins was owned.
Super chalky because
Collins is 31% owned.
He was in the ETR optimal, and I know Levitan is going to listen to this and be like, "You fucking stupid fish, just play Matt Collins because he played Matt Collins."
My God,
maybe it's something about being good and playing Matt Collins.
Matt Collins was the sixth most owned total player in
Brandon. Brandon Cooks was 7.5. I would do it again, Nate.
Ain't taking the L, baby. No L's from Nate today.
Nate, these are the players who were better, who you could have played instead. Same price. Tyler Lockett, 16 points. Drake London, same price, 14 points. Juju, 13. Garrett Wilson, 12. Tyler Boyd, 52. Devonta Smith, 33. Curtis Samuel, who I know you liked, 31. I mean, what are you doing, man? Brandon Cooks?
Whopper,
it's enough.
Bro.
It's enough already. 2022, it's enough.
Whopper, bro.
big takeaway for me is no more Fournette. No more. Evans and Godwin got to get back before I'm playing Fournette again.
We should just not play any Bucks ever. I think that's like 3 games into the season. We could just look at the Bucks.
We should have learned our lesson by now. Yeah. We should have.
This team is not about it. This team is completely unserious. Let's stay away.
David Montgomery would have been a really good play if he didn't get injured in the first quarter. Would have been fine. And actually probably would have made the day more tilting because he probably would have gotten like 20 points and he would have been super owned in tournaments and would have been harder to min cash without him for sure.
Yeah. It was tilting, but I would play Montgomery again. Nothing. I wouldn't change any of that.
And Diggs and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, Diggs was underpriced by 1,000. Amon-Ra St. Brown probably underpriced by like 600. It is. Sometimes you don't get there.
Yeah.
You guys didn't play Irv.
And no. not because I thought Mr. Juwan Double Zeros Johnson was a good play, but it was because I thought the thing that ended up impacting my lineup decisions the greatest amount was that I thought Romeo Doubs was the best points per dollar play of the entire slate, and that impacted what I did at quarterback, defense, tight end.
I also did. I liked Irv like a decent amount more than Juwan Johnson. But you guys, this is actually 2 consecutive weeks for me that I've taken a stone cold ass zero at tight end. Albert zero, and now Juwan Johnson. 2 weeks in a row, zeros at tight end in cash. Remember when I used to just bink $2,600 tight ends?
Like, yeah, remember Ross Dwelly? Remember Jeff Swaim? You know?
Oh, yeah. God, those were the good times back when I was good at DFS.
Remember Ian Thomas?
Oh, so good. But I agreed. I was big on Doubs this week. I had him in most of my tournament lineups too.
He should have been required to win this week.
Yeah. I mean, Doubs was a really good play because A, he's, you know, a really talented guy. But then B, you know, they were talking about how the coaching staff was literally talking about how they had to elevate his role.
And you know? He was the only starting wide receiver who got a practice in this week. Lazard didn't practice because he was sick. And Cobb didn't practice because he was sick. They were not at the facility all week. So it was just Doubs. He's the only one. And you could see it because what happened? The scripted opening drive, he got 3 targets. Like, that doesn't happen if he's not the only wide receiver there all week. So, I mean, he was the best play. And I'm so livid that the people who played Mac Hollins over him got there. Okay, let's do the Mac Hollins thing now. Mac Hollins has been in the NFL since fucking Barack Obama was the president. He got drafted when Barack Obama was the president. That's how long. He's never had more than 5 receptions. He only got more than 5 receptions twice. He's never had more than 7,200 yards, and he's got 5 career touchdowns. This guy has been on, he's like the Josh Johnson of wide receivers. He's been on like a million teams. He's a nice guy. I've met him because he was on the Dolphins when Laird was on the Dolphins.
Oh.
I mean.
Are you guys Eskimo brothers or anything?
I don't think so. We need to dig a little bit deeper into it. Okay. And obviously the idea that he is the worst wide receiver value play of all time is not true. I was being hyperbolic in a truly Davis Matic way. But Romeo Doubs was the fucking number one wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is a career special teamer, dude. And we're playing him over Romeo Doubs.
Davis, you gotta get your mind in the right. We're playing DFS. We're not playing Dynasty. You don't need to give me these season-long takes that you have, because you're right. Romeo Doubs will be a better career player. And over the long run, yeah, he's who I would invest in. But in this specific week, Mac Hollins was the play. I mean, he was the best of all the value.
If I told you that Romeo Doubs led the Packers in targets, you would have immediately swapped off of Mac Hollins for Romeo Doubs. Immediately.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers might be as washed as Tom Brady and the rest. Like,
you're not wrong.
I'm really that excited about getting the most targeted.
I mean, he got eight targets. Like, I mean, normally when you get 8 for 73 and a touchdown from your value wide receiver, you are absolutely windmilling. Like, Sammy, we should be doing dunks on the haters right now.
I know. But we got should be dunking on people that played Mac Hollins. But Mac Hollins had 10 targets. He had as many as Davante Adams, who I had everywhere in GPP.
Damn.
Yeah. 8 receptions, 158 yards, and a touchdown. Mac Hollins windmill dunked on our faces. And
honestly, he was 33. He was 33 versus 38. I actually thought the salary cap this week made it tight enough that the $500.
You use that
to get Irv over
to play Brandon Cooks over Juju.
Jesus H. Christ. That's
so what I think what Levitan did then and what other good players would have done was play Mac Hollins, Irv Smith, and Juju.
Yeah, probably.
That's like 135, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot of
way over the cash.
Okay,
line.
This Brandon Cooks thing, he is not a bad play. Like he didn't get there this week, but like I will take Brandon Cooks over Juju in this spot. Like I just will.
Okay, well you're wrong. Like take it, you're wrong. I mean, one of them was
take the guy with a 30% target share versus the guy who might see a single digit target share. Like because he already did in 50% of the games this season.
Yeah, but you're also taking Davis Mills as number one as opposed to
Patrick Mahomes,
Juju Smith-Schuster, who is once the number one dynasty player in all of fantasy football, and now is Patrick Mahomes' new team, and he's playing in the dome against a team that's missing Darius Leonard. I mean, come on. He was one catch away from hitting the bonus. Like, Juju's a smash, bro.
He actually, if whatever that...
Chicago defensively might be one of the softest matchups you can have. Like, I'm not going to... Oh, the win. 15-mile-an-hour wins.
But isn't the Bears defense good?
No, the Bears defense is not good.
No,
the Bears
defense
is bottom three in the NFL.
Did they win today?
Did win somehow. It was embarrassing.
Imagine like
the two and one Bears.
Imagine
they literally kneeled it with Justin Fields so that they could kick a field goal to win it. It was like I hate the Bears. I hate the Bears.
Justin Fields, 8 for 17, 106 yards, 2 interceptions. At least Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet
got on the board. Cole Kmet got on the board, 2 for 40.
Yeah. Did you guys see Khalil Herbert's final line?
Yeah.
It was nuts.
More yards than Montgomery's ever had in the game. 20 carries, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 receptions, 2 targets, 12 yards.
And he looked good too.
Yeah, I feel like David Montgomery, if he plays, gets 20 rushes for 84 yards and a touchdown.
But he'll score. Yeah, he would have scored.
Sure.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, what can you do? It stunk. And the Chiefs lose, which obviously just like is annoying. And I got like such good ownerships too on all the Chiefs players because like that was my main. What I did in tournaments. And it was just like, and that game was unwatchable. The whole thing, it was like every 3 minutes there was like a penalty or a timeout or a stoppage. Like it was horrible to watch.
Most of today was unwatchable. The only game that was decent was the Bills Miami game. I mean, literally every other game.
I mean, even that really wasn't that good. Like you had to deal with the fact that Tua was like dying on the field.
Yeah, it was brutal. I can't believe they brought him back.
Yeah.
This is not a good day of football.
Oh, let's talk about the swap. Let's talk about the swap that we did real quick, Sammy.
Yeah. You want to talk about the swap. I know.
So
I know.
Felt like we had a pretty good idea that we were behind without Mac Hollins' 97 points. So swap to AJ Dillon from Fournette and the Packers defense from the Jaguars defense, which I thought the field should have been doing anyways. Like, what are you doing starting a defense over against Justin Herbert? But turns out, who gives a shit? Justin Herbert stinks. The Jaguars got 9 points anyway.
Yeah, and they ran super bad to not get a touchdown. Like, Devin Lloyd, their linebacker, got a gift interception.
And he stumbled.
Kind of tripped, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have him in an IDP league. It was tilting.
Ugh, what can you do? So, I mean, and Dillon was sub 1% owned. The Packers defense was sub 1% owned. I thought it was. And they correlate. The Packers just stunk. That whole game just stunk.
It was a good swap.
Yeah, it was a good swap. But you know, at the end of the day, it's like when you have to swap, it's always a bad time and you're taking the worst of it. So, you know, you do what you can. I actually went through my head-to-heads and only swapped on the games where I was behind, because I was ahead after the morning games on a number of head-to-heads. And so instead of just
no reason to swap against anyone who didn't have Hollins.
Yeah. So like instead of global swapping, I just did that. So it ended up being a little better for me than it otherwise would have.
I did not have the patience for that. So I didn't.
Yeah, you got $801 head to head.
Yeah, I'm not. It's they don't pay me enough, bro.
Nate, let me ask you. So you played Mac Hollins, you windmill dunked on Davis, who was just deriding you all morning for playing Mac Hollins. He has, 8 for 158 and a touchdown. You get to go on the podcast and dunk. What kind of meat are you eating tonight in celebration of this?
Well, I'm going to have to bust out a ribeye. I mean, it tonight is a night we're celebrating. I sweated the last half hour of that stupid Green Bay game just because I said if Davis gets this touchdown, the second touchdown.
I mean,
it would have ruined this, because
you played Brandon Cooks.
I would have been so tilted.
If the Packers don't give that up at the end and Dobbs gets the bonus, Sammy and I are coming on and just throwing alley-oops to each other. Like, it would have, and I actually think it could have had the potential to have been one of our best shows of all time had you sucked out on us and then we sucked out again. Or like, it would,
Didn't Rodgers have Dubs wide open on one of these?
Wide open on 3rd and 10, and he heard footsteps, so he just went down, but they just run the little rub route where he goes underneath Lazard, and he had a linebacker on him and he's wide open.
I love that you call him Lazard.
I know. Guys, this Green Bay team is like,
they're terrible. Terrible.
It is not exciting to have Aaron Rodgers targets right now.
Is anybody aging worse than Aaron Rodgers?
Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is aging worse.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's 45.
I don't think Tom Brady ever really, like, without Chris Godwin, without Mike Evans, like, that was the whole thesis behind
that was the whole thesis.
Brady.
Yes.
So like Brady is doing exactly what I would expect Brady to be doing. Like where Rodgers' thesis was like, he's the best QB of all time. All of these crazy things. He made Devontae. But no, like Rodgers is being revealed. To me, Brady, like what did we expect from Brady? That's the only reason we played Brady.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong at all.
Yeah. Just two different stories. You know what I mean? Like Tom Brady goes to bed at 6:35 PM every night. And, has a kombucha IV or whatever. And Aaron Rodgers is out like doing ayahuasca like late night on Saturday and getting ready for the game. Two different paths, but they both suck now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
Okay.
Bad game.
Let's run through our tournament teams here real quick. None of us played Lamar, Mark Andrews with Mac Hollins. So we didn't win, but
not rich.
My thesis this week was that Mahomes was playing in a dome and it wasn't looking like he was going to be all that popular, which was true. It just ended up not mattering. He got 18 points. Jonathan Taylor was 3% owned. I mean, wow. It's like we knew that Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jefferson and Diggs and all these guys were going to be all that owned. Came out exactly how I thought. Didn't matter. He gets 12 points. Ramondre ended up being the best play that I made of the week. He was 4% owned. He got 20. I played him on all my tournament teams, but again, it did not matter because I generally played bad. I did. I am so enamored by Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, I don't even care if he's 25% owned. I still played him on all my teams. He obviously sucked. Juju was 11%. MVS did get, he almost, he, I think he's, when you're doing a double stack with Mahomes, I think he's the right guy to do it. Cause if Mahomes does ever throw a deep touchdown again, which remains to be seen if that'll happen for the rest of his career, but if he does, it'll probably happen to MVS. And then of course I fell victim to the Kyle Pitts, Martingale money pit, 11% owned, 4 for 82 in the first half. And then he ends with 5 for 87, just classic.
So close. Mm. So close to Kyle Pitts season week.
Yeah. I had the Allen double stack, but I got contrarian with it with Singletary and Gabe Davis. I thought that was the way to, if you were going to play.
I thought Gabe Davis was the right way to play it too.
Yep.
I felt good about it, especially when Singletary scored a TD and got like 8 receptions or something.
Oh, dude, he smashed.
9 receptions from Josh Allen. I was feeling really good about it. Crushed. But my bring back was Raheem Mostert, who didn't do anything. And then I had Justin Jefferson, didn't do anything. Tyler Lockett, Dallas Goedert, and Jack.
I made a lot of that Mostert play too. I thought it was so fucking sharp. I was like, I'm getting leverage on Tyreek and Waddle, and he was the lead runner last week, bro.
I mean, I felt good about like the stat. It was just the pieces. Like when you go in on Justin Jefferson as your like high leverage wide receiver and he puts up single digits, you're screwed.
Oh, another reason I meant to say another reason why Nate is dumb is he could have played T. Higgins for $300 more than Brandon Cooks, which is what a lot of people did. Just played the Jaguars defense.
Yeah.
And Juwan. And I don't know.
Yeah, I
would have
had to
Nate.
Get off. I know. It's okay.
It's okay. You played Matt Collins. You win. I'm just so tilted you made money with Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks is not a bad, like, you know, he's my play. Like, I make those plays 17 weeks.
Yeah, he's the new Robert Woods. Sammy,
well,
what's
I got off Robert Woods before. I got off the Robert Woods thing before he fell. I was on Cooper way before.
Do you know that this is an insane stat? Doesn't even sound real. Robert Woods was the wide receiver 12 last year before he tore his ACL.
No way.
That's real.
How many games in? Like three?
No, like eight.
Holy shit.
No.
That can't be right.
Robert Woods last season played in 9 games. He had 5 touchdowns, 602 yards, and 45 receptions.
My God. What if Allen Robinson was still good?
Dude, I did want to bring this up. Allen Robinson looks about as cooked as a Christmas turkey, dude. I'm or a Christmas goose. I mean, he is
so bad.
Oh, Ben Skoronek is out. Brandon Powell outgained him in this game against the Cardinals today.
He actually was fairly close to scoring a touchdown. He was wide open on like a mesh play. And he's like running toward the end zone and Jalen Thompson just folds him at the 1 yard line, like just stops him and puts him in the trash compactor. And we never heard from him again.
Unbelievable. I mean, right. 2 for 32.
Yeah. I did, you know, I play the 3 max 150 power sweep. I got 2 cashes in that for the second consecutive week, which kind of like saved my bacon. Nothing great, but one of my teams is actually not that contrarian. I did a Josh Allen to Gabe Davis stack with Jalen Waddle bringing
it
back.
I didn't play any of them in tournaments. What was Gabe Davis owned?
Great question. I don't know.
In the red zone, he was like 10%. I mean, it was great. It was exactly what you want.
Yeah, if only it was Isaiah McKenzie instead, be rich. But
or Singletary. Singletary was literally 0.8% owned.
Yeah, I had Singletary in the other, not this lineup. I'm gonna give you guys, but he was in my other lineup to cash in this tournament. But I didn't use him as part of the stack, unfortunately. So I had Allen, Gabe Davis, and Waddle bringing it back. I used Ramondre in this lineup. I think I was probably thinking the same thing as you, Davis, where Ramondre's usage has been really good, but he really didn't produce that much last week.
Has been so good, and it was like everyone was just looking. No one wanted to spend on CMC or JT or Kamara, whatever, this week. Everyone wanted to play the high-priced wide receivers, but it was like we also didn't want to play Montgomery or Pierce or Josh Jacobs. So it was like you just had to find somebody down there.
Yeah, Pierce actually acquitted himself pretty nice.
He did. He had a great game. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did at my last wide receiver spot is instead of playing Diggs, who was going to be chalky, I got up to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams, and you know he got a touchdown, but he had kind of a shite game. Like he was, you know, because the true alpha Matt Collins took all of his shit. You know what I mean? So Devontae Adams was less than 10% owned. You know, without Renfro in there, I just thought he was in a tremendous spot to like, if he just goes back to like doing what he did in week one, and has usage like that after he burned everybody's ass last week in cash, you know, that's going to be awesome. And, you know, he got 10 targets, but it just didn't come to fruition. And then the rest of the lineup was Juwan Johnson, who was 9%, Romeo Doubs. I just played him everywhere. He was less than 9%.
I played him on every team.
Yeah, I just played Doubs everywhere too. I was really big on Doubs, and I had Adams everywhere in tournaments, and that kind of that kind of bit me, but fortunately, like the lineup did well enough with Ramondre's 20 and Dobbs's 21 to why are we not just
playing Lamar every week?
I mean
the
this
guy,
Lamar thing.
2 weeks in a row, 100 plus yards rushing. He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns. Like it's like Lamar is like just like he's doing his college stats, but in the NFL now.
Well, and it doesn't feel unsustainable. It's not like
and
it's
not
like,
in
oh,
any way.
Uh-uh. It's like we can expect that next week.
Yeah. Well, I should have definitely used the Lamar overs in my prize picks parlays instead of Desmond King tackle unders for sure.
The Bills.
Yeah, Sammy, that one hit me.
The Bills and the Ravens play next week on the main slate.
Oh my God.
So we're gonna get Diggs and Davis and Bateman and Duvernay and Mark Andrews and Josh Allen and Lamar.
Yo, let me just tell you, like closet, and not that this will go under like looked next week, but like closet, the Ravens pass defense is egregious.
It's horrible.
It's so like they get roasted. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but in week 16 last year, Joe Burrow put up 525 and four touchdowns against them. It's like the fourth most.
It's because everyone just dies. It's like their defensive backs just like it's like Final Destination with these defensive backs. It's like every week someone tears their ACL, and the running backs, same thing. It's like Baltimore Ravens running backs and cornerbacks are just dust.
Yeah, but he also like I think Burrow also put up 400 yards against them earlier that year, and then. God, who did they play last week? Like somebody pushed their bunguses in last week too. Oh, Tua.
Yeah, Tua six went passing off for touchdowns six. Against them.
So yo, like I just want to play like receivers and quarterbacks against the Ravens. That's a thing I want to start doing consistently.
Well, you almost played Nelson Aguilar in cash.
I almost played Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah. Well, Bourne was playing. I think he ended up doing all right in the end, but in
Bourne
the first half. He was
Devontae
playing behind.
Parker.
Yeah, Devontae Parker had just career high. Yeah. Which I don't know. It's like I was thinking, like, was it a miss to not play Devontae Parker? And then I was like, no, this guy was such a Chris Hogan before this game, like playing every single snap and getting like four targets. I mean, it's the Patriots. Apparently,
much better.
Yeah.
Nate, listen, dude, listen. I will let you dance on our graves over Mac Hollins, as you should. You're a complete alpha. You deserve your ribeye, you know, all that stuff. But the Juju slander needs to stop here.
You played Brandon Cooks over him, bro. Like no points. I award you no points for that decision. Zero sharp points there.
Yeah, you got to take the condoms off and just play Juju Smith-Schuster.
I mean, he could have just played T. Nate, it was easier for him to play T than it was for us.
Yeah, sure. I should have played T. I'll take the T L. I'm not going to take the Juju L. I mean,
T should have had like a billion. He got a touchdown taken away from him, and then he got concussed.
Yeah. Well, no, he was back out there.
The NFL's got to figure this out, dude. Tua and T were like straight concussed on our TVs, and they were both back in the game.
Oh, yeah. There was another one, too. I forget who it was. Maybe
I should have found a way to get up to T over Brandon Cooks, but.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it for us boys. We got it. We wrapped it up. Nate played Mac Hollins. He escapes by the hair of his chinny chin chin with 4 points from Brandon Cooks. And
God.
Sammy, we got the blade, buddy.
But dude, I can't believe my kids are gonna have to go to community college because I didn't play Mac Hollins. Like, what is this? What's going on?
Mac Hall. And it, you know, it's like the thing that's going to tilt me even more is that we'll never speak of his name again. He will never be relevant in fantasy football ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I will bring it up to tilt you regularly.
Yeah. There's going to be like a Gilcast next year where Davis is going to be like, man, who is that guy on the Raiders last year who Nate played? You know, Davis won't remember his name, but it'll definitely happen.
Yeah. All right, everyone, we're out of here. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.